Welcome to this Markets Commentator podcast. My guest today is Tony Bell, the Chief Investment Officer of Vunani Fund Managers. Tony, welcome to the show. A lot has changed since we spoke in November last year. In November last year, the theme was when and by how much US interest rates would rise. And locally, we had in December that infamous week of madness where we saw three ministers of finance, which sent the rand into a downward spiral. How fundamentally has the market changed over the last 3 months?
Greg, thank you very much for the invite of being on your show. The market has changed in some ways and yet not in others. The way it's changed is really has to do with how the market has priced growth going forward. And the big concerns there has been, is the U.S. economy growing at a slower pace than the market had expected, resulting in lower company earnings? And secondly, is there a deflationary pulse about to hit the U.S. out of China, with the potential risk of a devaluation of the Chinese yuan? So those are the two big issues that I see having troubled markets in early Jan.
But markets have run really hard last year, and there seems to be quite a negative sentiment currently. Do you think this is maybe overdone?
I do think so. I think the doom and gloom profits are going to have proved to be overstated their case a little bit. But I think what for your listener out there is relevant is that we are dealing with quite an extended bull market. The bull market's now sort of nearly 6 years in the making. And a lot of the tailwinds that drove share prices higher have abated. The liquidity thrust from QE 1, 2, and 3, the stimulus from the ECB, the stimulus from Bank of Japan, we all know those were very powerful tailwinds. The very low interest rate environment that resulted in companies being able to borrow very cheaply and buy back their equity and also use surplus free cash flow to buy back their equity, that's all tapering off. So now the focus shifts into earnings growth. And I think what the big message for the listeners out there is that the markets in the very short term has struggled to identify whether growth is in line with its previous expectations or whether it was likely to be lower. Many have commented that the Fed made a mistake in raising interest rates. I think January's GDP, now or sort of the number of GDP for the first quarter of 2016 for the US may well surprise to the upside. And I think that's just going to add to investor uncertainty, because it does feel a little bit like a sort of a stop-start model. 1 week we're in stop mode and the next week we're in start mode. And so I think investors have to sit back and take a long-term view and say, well, what sort of growth is being priced into markets at the moment? And that's the real difficulty when it comes to share selection, because many of your commodity stocks and things like construction in the local market have been absolutely pilloried in the last while. And those are the stocks where the market might have underpriced a recovery in growth. And the more defensive stocks are pricing in quite high growth multiples, which companies are going to struggle to deliver against.
Before we talk about the individual stocks, you've been in the business for nearly 25 years. If you take a helicopter view, how different is what we're seeing now from, you know, in the previous 25 years, maybe excluding the corrections in 2000 and 2009?
I think we're into a new era. I've just finished reading a bit of a vacation read was Dr. El Arian's book, Central Bank's the Only Game in Town, and even he concedes in the book that, having coined the phrase the new normal, this is anything but normal. It might be new, but it's not normal. I think we're dealing with a whole policy environment that is very, very unconventional. This is not the sort of framework that's taught in university economic and macroeconomic courses. So central banks are very much having to feel their way as they go through. And as the sort of Fed says, it's very data dependent, which is a euphemism, I guess, for we don't actually know. So we'll take a decision when we get a bit more certainty based on the data. I think the environment at the moment really has to be looked at outside of the context of history. This hasn't happened before, so it's very much a process from a fund manager's perspective of trying to find out where the dominant forces are at play and how the markets are responding to that. Maybe for the listener, an easy way to think about it is post the GFC, the global financial crisis, we moved into QE1. Objective of that was to save the bank's big liquidity push into the markets. Then came QE2, which had the objective of pushing down long bond rates so that U.S. Homeowners could refinance. QE3 was keep your foot on the gas pedal for long enough to try and get some traction in the economy. And with that tailwind now behind us, we're really moving into a new policy environment where negative nominal rates in the Eurozone and Japan are commonplace these days. A lot of bonds in the Euro market are trading at negative real yields. And so the real question is, to what extent does growth come through? And if it doesn't, how do policymakers respond? They really only have two tools left in their toolbox. The one is to go negative nominal rates, and the other is to devalue the currency. And therein lies the policy risk of some major country like or region like China or the U.S. having to resort to further unconventional measures to stimulate growth, largely because it's taken a long while for the credit cycle to reassert itself, and only now do we start to see evidence that the credit cycle is coming back in the U.S. and in Europe. So I think the markets are reflecting over the past week or two sort of easier breathing. The macro data has surprised to the upside, or it's been positive. Oil price and commodity prices are recovering. The U.S. long bond market isn't reflecting such a dire state of affairs. And I think the market's fairly happy that we're not moving into a policy framework which would be competitive devaluation and potentially a reduction in interest rates in the States.
But how should investors, you know, taper their expectations in this market? You know, is equities or as attractive as it was a few years ago? And is it maybe an opportunity to try and diversify into other asset classes?
Yeah, that's a nice question. I don't think they are nearly as attractive as they were in 2009 and through to 2013. Certainly the sentiment at that time was extremely cautious, if not completely negative, by investors who feared a much worse macroeconomic environment as a likely outcome of what was happening at the time. I think for any investor, you really have to go back to basics and look at how much companies are able to deliver in terms of growth. And there the numbers aren't bad. You know, in a low inflation environment, where inflation in the States is running at around 2%. Admittedly, South Africa is a little bit higher at around 7%, but Europe is pretty inflationless, as is Japan. And so the conventional economic wisdom that was being espoused a few years ago, that all this money printing would lead to higher rates of inflation, has been proven to be dead wrong. And the reason for that is very simple. The credit cycle has not got going again. Balance sheet recession was a sort of theory developed by Richard Koob studying the Japanese 20-year period of deflation. And his basic thesis was that during periods of great economic contraction, people would rather pay off debt even though interest rates were low, hence the term balance sheet recession. So consumers haven't been borrowing to spend, but companies have still done very well. So I think the simple answer that you're looking for is stick with long-term growth oriented companies that are not overpriced for the growth that they're able to deliver. At this point in time, the cyclical stocks are extremely bombed out, and as we go into a world where some of the capacity is removed and we get to a framework where there's more stability in the currency markets, and we don't get onto a path of competitive currency devaluation, there's every likelihood that these shares are going to do very well.
I'm just looking at one of your core funds is the Vunani Core Equity Fund, and this fund has performed really well over the last few years. But I see there's a definitive trend since the end of last year. In October last year, it made 7.3%. which was nearly the best month this fund has ever had. But then in November, December, and January, we saw negative growth. for 3 consecutive months. And, you know, if you look at the total performance of those funds over the period, the percentage of positive months were 99.7%, only 0.3%. So currently the local market is really tough.
Yes, it is. I think the reason for the slight underperformance in the short term is being overly cautious on the turn in commodity stocks. We've got Sasol, Mondi, Billiton, Sibanye in that portfolio, but obviously some of the shares like Anglo's have run particularly hard. If I look at my screen year to date, Anglo's up 73%. Some of the platinum stocks like Anglo American Plat's up 88%. And so it shows you what sort of turnaround you can have in these stocks that have been extremely oversold or sold down by the market in the past while. That particular fund that you referred to is a very low tracking error fund. It forms part of a range of portfolios that we run for clients with targeted return mandates of CPI plus 5. And so that particular component is really an integral part of how we manage the asset allocation exposure of the overall fund and the extent to which we want exposure to equities as opposed to just looking for alpha opportunity in the other suite of funds that we run where there's more of a Swiss benchmark. The alpha has been about 2-3% over the same period, and a positive one at that.
Well, let's look at individual sectors. You've alluded earlier to the construction sector and commodities, but you know we saw this bounce in commodities, and at the end of last year, many people you know looked at commodities and said, you know, there's a reason why some of these stocks are so low or have been sold down so much. Don't try and time the market. And then it bounced. So is it a missed opportunity or just bad luck?
I think it's a missed opportunity. I think markets do present you with opportunities, and it's up to you to decide whether you take them or not. And I think that's part of the challenge of fund management is, you know, as one looks to protect drawdown risk in a portfolio, as you said, the number of positive months way exceeds the number of negative months. And that's part of the payoff that the client is looking for. Clients looking for consistent returns. And what we try and do as part of this and other portfolios is we focus on minimizing the drawdown risk. We find in very volatile times, even if you do a miss a bit to the upside, protecting most of the downside is far more significant to the client's long-term return than being able to time short-term bounces in the market. That being said, and part of a fund manager's sort of role and responsibility is to try and work out what the risk-return trade-off is. In some cases, the risk-return trade-off works in your favor, and in others, it doesn't. And a lot of people held Anglo's from 220, watched go all the way through to 50. From 50, your base is quite a lot lower than it was at 220. For clients that have long-term focus, what we try and do is manage not only the potential re-entry, but in this particular case, we experienced none of the drawdown of commodity stocks over the past 18 months, which is why the fund historically has done very well longer term. Mm.
Looking at sectors that offer value, you've mentioned construction. Do you think there could be upside in the short term?
Not as much as I think there could be in gold or resources. I think we're looking at a world where structurally the resource sector is changing a lot more quickly. The construction sector is driven to a very large extent by the profit dynamics of that sector. There's still quite a lot of competition for projects. Pricing is very keen, but within the commodity complex, there's a lot of structural change happening. And also at these sort of levels, particularly on the oil markets, supply can't sustain itself indefinitely. So we're going to get to a point where we think that those prices will move higher.
Some stocks in the banking sector and broader financial services sector has also been sold down, mostly due to concerns about higher interest rates. But you can pick up some of the banks at dividend yields of around 7%.
Absolutely, Rick. And I think for the more conservative investor, that's a really good place to go. If you look at something like Barclays Africa, which is quite topical at the moment, you're picking it up on a sub-7 PE with a very decent dividend yield of around 6. And even if the bank were able to produce only, for argument's sake, 5% earnings growth, Your total return for the next 12 months would be comfortably in the early teens, which is a very, very attractive investment proposition given the riskiness of some other sectors in the market at the moment.
Are you actively buying in this market?
Yes, we are.
What are you buying?
Well, we've closed off a large number of short positions, and the bulk of what we're buying is far more domestic cyclical and commodity related stocks, with a specific focus on the mining conglomerates and some selected gold shares. So that's quite a different positioning from what we've had in the past 36 months. The last 36 months have really been dominated by companies with high earnings growth vectors, companies that were able to enjoy a much higher price earnings multiple as a result of the low interest rate environment. But we find that there's quite a lot of exhaustion on those shares in terms of how much growth has been priced in. So we've moved into more of a positioning of local orientation with a view towards local cyclical and global commodity-oriented stocks, where we think the bounce could be quite significant.
Just lastly, and it's more a question from my own personal perspective, many investors hold exchange-traded funds, which have performed really well over the past few years. But the market has become a stock picker's market, and your best fund managers should outperform the exchange-traded funds.
Sure.
Do you think it's a good idea for some of these investors to move money from ETFs to actively managed funds?
Well, of course, the right question is, which actively managed funds do you move them to?
But what should an investor do? How should you make that decision?
Yeah, so the simple rule that I follow, or the simple guideline, is as I work off a rule of thirds. So I think for any client that wants exposure to the market, there's really not a bad strategy of taking, for those investors that are in ETFs, two-thirds of your money remain linked to the market. You get the swings, but you also get the roundabouts. And then taking a third and selecting managers that run much higher tracking error, much more focused portfolios, typically you'd find those sort of portfolios would have 25, 30 stocks in, and the manager would either be following a certain investment style or a certain theme. And the two complement one another nicely. I've never sort of held the view that it's an either-or. I think there's an attraction to both.
Thank you, Tony. That was Tony Bell, the Chief Investment Officer of Unani Fund Managers.